Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so happy that you tuned in with us tonight. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. Let's see here. Tonight's topic is, how can love be enough if you really don't know what it is? How can love be enough if you really don't know what love is? So that's a good question that we're asking. Do you know what love is? You know, do you know what love is? So we're going to get to that in just a moment, but we're certainly hoping that you all can join us tonight simply by calling in at 347-857-1769. You can tune in also on the internet by listening to the show live at drjessewalker.com, drjessewalker.com. You can certainly tune in there as well and listen to the show live. We've got a great deal to cover tonight. We're only going to open the lines up to just a few participants, and in doing so, because I want to really get out some of the mechanics of what I believe love encompasses based on our story tonight. So this is something that you really want to tune into, because we've got a, it's going to be live and it's going to be real. So that's something that we want you all to be certainly following us on here tonight. So again, if you're just joining us, we're going to be tuning in with that. So that's what we're going to be looking at. So when we first think about love, when the first thing that comes to our mind, when we first think about love, I'm thinking that love is, you know, that's the question. What is love? What is love? Some of us think that we know what love is, and some of us don't have a clue. Some of us think that love is just a feeling, but tonight we're going to be talking about love, you know, what it is, and perhaps what it's not. So we certainly want to hear from you all when you call in and listen to the programming. You can certainly call in at 347-857-1769. We want to send a special word out to Lady C. She's encountering some personal matters, and so we want her to know that our heart goes out to her, and we extend our prayers to her and her family for what she's having to deal with. We're going to open the phone lines. We're going to go to Pastor Rowe. Let's welcome him to tonight's program. Pastor Rowe, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on board with us, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Jesse Walker and our entire Blog Talk Radio family. Just great to be on. I was a few minutes late, but praise the Lord, I'm here.
Yes, we're so glad that you've taken time out of your schedule to join us. Pastor Rowe, tonight we're dealing with a very sensitive topic. Our topic tonight is how. Petro, I'm not sure if your radio's on in the background because it comes here as well. I'm not sure. But how can a person, how can love actually be enough if a person really doesn't know what love is? It's getting an echo, it's bringing an echo back to me here in the studio. So I don't know if you have it on live.
Let me respond in about 30 seconds, okay?
All right, certainly. So once again, the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, our number to call in is 347-857-1769. Tonight we're going to be talking about how can love actually be enough? How can love be enough if, in fact, you don't know what love is? Press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear your comments. We're going to take a select number of comments tonight and callers. So if you want to tell us what you think love is, and tonight we're going to talk about a little bit about love and what love is and perhaps what love is not. So keep that in mind. Pastor Rose is going to give us his interpretation of what he thinks to respond to the question that we have on love. How can love be enough? This is our topic. How can love be enough if, in fact, you don't really know what love is? Well, you say, well, I'm over the age of 15, 16, 17, 25, 35, 45, and upwards. How can it be that I don't know what love is? Of course I know what love is, people would say. But do we really? So if that's the case, then do people really fall in love? And do they, if they fall in love, can they fall out of love? And what's falling got to do with it? You know, so these are a number of questions. But Pastor Rose,
I'm back, Dr. Walker.
Hey, Pastor Rose, thank you for that. We're going to begin by asking you, how can a person really think that love is enough? That they say that love is enough. Isn't my love for you enough? If you really don't know what love is, if you don't know what love is, how can love be enough?
Wow, that's a difficult one, Dr. Walker. I mean, people know what hate is because they can feel hate. Hold it one second. That was Marjorie trying to come. I guess she see that I thought I was a little late. But anyway, they know what hate is. They can feel hate, but anybody can feel love. And you don't know what love is. I mean, how can you not know what love is? I mean,
well,
it's not,
you know,
love.
That's a magic question tonight. How can people say that love is enough? Love is enough if really they don't know what love is. And see, because if you look at the dynamics of these relationships, we have so many people who are actually breaking up, so many marriages ending in divorce, when these people at one point in time were seemingly madly in love. So if that's the case, what happened? What happened with the people? How do you go from being madly in love to now not being in love at all? How do you go from being madly in love and now not in love at all? Is love something, Pastor Rose, you think that people off?
People know. Yes, people know what. Oh, gosh. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. Right. Well, people know what hate is, you know, because, you know, they separate, you know. One goes their way, the other goes their way, you know. But love is powerful. I mean, I think it's something that you're born with. I mean, it's just there, even a little baby, you know, when it's crying, you know, when you pick it up and hold it, you know, they can feel love.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Again, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, how can love be enough if you really don't know what love is? And so we want to hear from you all. Press 1 out here. The co-host will be joining us momentarily. Press 1 and tell us what you think love is and what love is not. Before we go into tonight's story, we're going to be joined also by Benny from the Block. We're just waiting on him to press 1 on his dial. All right, he's coming in now. Benny from the Block, is always a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us, sir. Good evening, good evening, good evening, as you would say.
Good evening, and happy, happy Thursday. It's an exciting day. I am on my way to Myrtle Beach, but I am going to be with you for the duration.
All right, good, good, good. You're always on the road, and that's a good thing. Happy to hear that. Benny from the Block, help us understand. Tonight's topic is, how can love be enough if a person really doesn't know what love is? I mean, in order to know if it's enough,
well,
say that you have to know what it is?
Yes, because if you don't know what love is, then you obviously are operating in a form of what we call usury. Usury is a flattery of what people think love is. And so love is a whole lot of things, but one thing it's not is usury. So a lot of times people will say, oh, if you love me, then you'll do this and this and this for me. Or, oh, if you love me, then you'll do this or you'll do that. And if you love me, I'll do this for you and I'll do for that. No, 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 no. Love is so many more things than just what that is. And I found out that people who don't understand love really don't know how to love themselves. Therefore, it makes them possible for them to love anybody else.
You know, that's a very good point. That's a very good point because how about the people walking around, Benny from the Block, who say, I love you, I love you. And then a few weeks later, the people can't stand each other.
Well, I'm gonna give you a little scenario. If I go get a cockatoo and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, if I say it enough, he'll repeat it back to me every time I say it. And then after a while, I don't have to even say it. He'll just say, when he sees me, oh, I love you. Because he's been conditioned to say that. And so a lot of times we are conditioned to say and do things that we have no real understanding of what love is. First of all, if you don't have God in your life, it's almost impossible to ever truly know what it means to love.
Okay. Very interesting point. Very interesting point. We're going to actually stand by. We'll hear from Marjorie Cross in a moment, Sister Marjorie, to give us her commercial break tonight. Pastor Roll, before she comes on, I want to go here and I want to ask you, do you think that it's important to have God in your life in order for you to understand love or to love?
Well, I feel Benny from the Block said it all. You can't understand love unless true love, that deep true love, profound love, unless you have God, because God is the one that will instill it in you and show you what true love is all about. Love, it's a difference between the real profound, deep love, that love that goes the second mile, you know. You know what scripture says. It's going the second mile. If a man compel you to go 1 mile, you go with them two, twain, because you have God in your life. So, yes, to answer that question, it's important to know what true love is about, because God is love. We got to have God in our life in some way, form, or fashion.
All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by. We're going to go to the story tonight. Tonight's characters are Rita and Quincy. Rita and Quincy. Tonight's topic, how can love be enough when and if you really don't know what love is? Quincy and Rita. Now, this couple has been dating for the past 4 years. Quincy feels that Rita does not have a sincere clue about how to love him. According to Quincy, Rita thinks that love only deals with an expression of your feelings about the person you are in with. Quincy, on the other hand, feels that love has to do with the understanding of a person's intrinsic needs, which becomes deeper than just an expression of someone telling you they love you. Now, the couple has been battling this issue for some time now, and it is apparent that their relationship is now on edge. They are playing the blame game on each other in terms of accusing each other of not knowing what love, in fact, truly is. All right, so they have attended a number of therapies and came upon a good therapist that shared some enlightening and helpful information on the elements of a strong love that includes the following. And there are 10 of these now. The first one is, and it all deals with what love is. Love is, according to the therapist, taking or making the time to learn your significant other, including his or her likes and dislikes. Okay? It's taking or making the time to learn your significant other's, likes and dislikes. That is very important. And I think a lot of people miss out on that. Number two, love is study a person's intrinsic needs, not just that person's desires, but those needs are relative to what makes that person feel his or her best and trying to be with you. All right? This also means loving the person the way he or she chooses to be loved in addition to the way you desire to love them. Number three, love goes deeper than caring for your significant other. That's important to note, that love goes deeper than caring for your significant other, and that it should be recognized as an action. And that's a key point there, an action word. In other words, love is showing and doing with and for your significant other. Number four, love is respecting each other enough to peacefully, and lovingly agree to disagree when you face challenges in your relationship. Remember, there's nothing greater than love. Number five, love is being the first to apologize, even when you may be right. Number six, love is not keeping the score of your significant other's wrongs. Number seven, love is not tit for tat, but rather displaying and making time for effective communications when things appear out of alignment. Number eight, love is compatibility and chemistry that makes a significant other, or actually that makes a significant difference in knowing that you are in the right relationship. That's very important in my opinion. Number nine, love is the natural energy that you initially put into the relationship and finding ways to continue throughout your relationship. Finally, number 10, love is never having to say you're sorry from the movie Love Story, but rather when and if you have to say I'm sorry, of course, always be the bigger person and doing so without hesitation. Now, after completing several sessions with his therapist, Quincy and Rita are now in love more than they were in the initial stages of their relationship. Pastor Roll, I want to ask you, could Quincy and Rita, in your opinion, be living in a fantasy world? Could they be living in a fantasy world?
Well, you can live in a fantasy world when you don't really, really know the truth. You know, once you know it, whether it's with a therapist, whatever, that's, you know, sharing with you, ways and means to have a better relationship, you'll be open to it. You know, it's just like, you know, when I was a child, I might be kind of off course, you know, and I get my spankings, and then my mother would tell me, or my grandmother would tell me, I'm doing it because I love you. You know, I didn't understand it then, but now I'm older and I'm grateful and thankful. I understand truly that I learned what love was about. But when I was going through these difficulties, and sometimes people go through verbal confrontations, you know. But back to what Bennett from the blog said a few minutes ago, you know, you got to have God in your life because you understand what love, what true love is all about. And so we're living in a toxic relationship. Well, my God, without a better other, you know, it's because the alignment is not right. Somebody's off course, and you have to come, let us reason together. You got to talk to find out that, hey, well, I was wrong. I should have gave in here or gave in that. I should have done this. I should have done that. You know, but it's back to knowing what love, true love really is, and that's God and his principles of life that he has for us, precepts and commandments.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Just before we go to Sister Marjorie Cross for the announcement, Benny from Black, I want to bring you in and say, okay, even people who appear to have God in their lives, you still got half of the, according to statistics, half of the church people divorcing. So are we speculating that they were in love? What's happening? Why are they divorcing if they've got God in their lives, in your opinion?
Well, there's a term that we use. We call it hearers of the word, but not receivers or doers of the word. So just because people is sitting there in the same building, they're listening to it and experiencing the same thing that everybody else is, the point that's really the hindrance is that their hearts and their minds are not on the things that's being given to them. Situation, let's go to love. If I'm a person that truly understands love and can give you love, and I know how to share love with you, but if you're not a person that can receive love, hear love, understand love, or even try to, you know, dive into love, then I'm just merely talking to a stony heart. A stony heart has no place in the love affair that God had originally planned for us. So that's why he says, I want to take that stony heart and make it into a fleshly heart so that it can be able to receive, hear, and do that which is supposed to be given to us. If we're supposed to see love, we're supposed to receive love, and we're supposed to be love. But if we're a stony heart, then everything that falls upon it, it just simply falls away into the ground. And so the reason that you get a lot of church people sitting in church and they're not able to stay married and stay together is because they still have stony hearts. We don't like to talk about it, but the fact is they still have a stony heart. Unless God comes and does heart surgery on them and removes that stony heart and give them a new fleshly heart, they're going to continue to stay in the same boat that they're in.
Okay, but isn't it true, or is it true in your opinion, Benny from the Block, while I've got you here, that people could, I mean, a guy could see a girl and she looks really good, and it's almost like his heart is so, his passion for her, and that's the physical aspect of it, is so deep that he thinks that he's in love with this woman, and of course it could be lust. However, let's say, and women can do the same thing, and all let's just say this couple, they come together, they meet on the job, they've been around each other, they trust each other. Now all of a sudden, this couple, they get together. They really do. They hit it off well. Everything is great in the initial stages of a relationship. But then after 3 months into the relationship, you know, the individual's true selves start to come out. Now it's like even though they work in the same department, they seemingly can't even stand each other. So what happens? What happens, in your opinion, you know, when once upon a time love was thought to be enough, but is it that these people don't know what love really is?
Well, we live in a society, well, I call it the microwave society. That means you take something artificial, you put it and turn the heat on, you get artificial light that warms it up and heats it up, you take it out, you eat it, there's no real nutritional value in it, there's real no heavy additives that's going to benefit you in the overall run, and the next thing you know, 15, 20 minutes later, you're digesting it all out of your system, and that's what you get in those things. You get people who don't really understand what love is, so they have an artificial effect of love. They put it in a microwave and heat it up. We call it lust, or we call it over-infatuation, and then after a while, when they figure out that there's no real value in it, they do what? They digest it out of their system, and so that's what we are looking at. An artificial microwave heated up digestive system. And that is where we are in society.
All right. We're going to actually stand by. We're going to take some of the comments that have come into the studio as well. Let's go to Sister Marjorie for a comment, a commercial break. Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us. Good evening.
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, Pastor Roland. Good evening to all your co-hosts and guests. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world, Isagenix, and we have a lot of health products that may be able to help you. We have some collagen product for the hair, the nail, the skin, and everything. And we also have the adaptogen for high blood pressure and stress or anything. And any other health conditions that you have, we may be able to help you. The website to go to is betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. And I'm also the assistant director of sponsorship with Pastor Roll. And also, if you go there, you'll see a lot of different information about it. My number is 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. God bless you all, and have a great night. Very interesting subject. I'm listening to you, Candy.
Thank you. We're going to ask you, we're going to bring you in a comment on a comment in a moment, Sister Marjorie. So stand by, please.
Okay.
So I want to hear from you all out here. Press 1. If you think that you have a clear and concise definition of what love is, tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, how can love be enough if you really don't know what love is? Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here, and I want to talk about this issue because, okay, in elementary school or kindergarten, kids learn to read. They learn to read. And as they progress, they learn reading and comprehension. And in order to do a certain job or a task, in a lot of cases, you have to be taught. Can you teach love? That's the question. Can you teach love? Pastor Roll, your thoughts on that. And then Sister Marjorie, we're going to ask you the same thing. Can you teach love? And why haven't people been taught love? Pastor Roll, can you teach love?
Yes, because you can be an example, one thing I did want to say, scripture tells us you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You got to get to the point, Lord, something is wrong here, and you got to ask God to help you. If you cry out to you, God will help you and let you see what your flaws are, what you're doing wrong, so that you can improve. It's a growth process, but I have to go back to what Benny from the Block say. It all starts with God. You got to have that virus, of love within you, And then as you go along, it's just like a rosebud. You don't blossom all at one time. You got to be a bud at first, and then you gradually open up. It's a maturing process. And love is the same way. We gradually open up, mature as God's spirit, gets into us. Then we'll become more like he is and experience what true love is all about. It's a process that comes from God, and God will give it to you if you ask him and cry out for it.
All right. We're going to actually stand by. Sister Marjorie, I want to bring you in, and we want to hear from you all out there. Press 1 on your dial, then we're going to start taking on some of the comments as well. Sister Marjorie Cross, I want to ask you this question here. You got ministers who find themselves divorcing, and they're supposed to be leading the flock. And so the question is, can you teach love? Can you really, Sister Marjorie, in your opinion, can you teach love?
Can you teach? Yes, because some people don't know what love is. So you can teach them, you can teach them that God is love, and in order for them to love one another, once they know God and they know that God is love, God teaches to love one another. It's to love one another as God loved the church. So we are the church, and we have to continue to grow. I always said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. So we have to show people that we care, And love is the action word. You don't just say, I love you, I love you, I love you. You have to do something to show that you love the person. So, you know, just continue to put God first and continue to love one another. That's what you have to do. So
right, we're almost running out of time. We have about a half hour to go with the show. We got a lot to still cover tonight. We got a lot to cover. And I want to bring Pastor Roll in a moment. We're going to go to phone lines first, though, and give a commercial break on what we're trying to do with the five countries. And, you know, if anybody wants to sponsor, he'll give us about a 30-second commercial in just a moment. Let me go all the way to, I believe this is Texas. Let's go out there to Ms. Lewis. Ms. Lewis, thank you for joining us tonight. Ms. Lewis, how can love be enough if we don't really know what love is? And see, you teach love, but think about it. Have you ever taught any young people in kindergarten, elementary school, about love? Okay, love is this. And then as they progress in middle school and high school, then love is this. Or do we all ask somebody, you know, when they approach us, when our kids may approach us, and they're 13 or 14, their hormones are out of imbalance, and say, Daddy or Mommy, there's this girl, and you're so embarrassed to tell your parents, there's this girl I like, or somebody's accusing you of liking this girl, and you say, no, I don't. But in fact, you do, because I went through that. I've liked the girl, and it's like, you know, and my mom would know it. And I say, well, Mama, no, I don't like that girl. That like girl likes me. Because you're embarrassed, but clear enough, I did like the girl. You just don't know how to approach her at such a young age. But, you know, if you're not taught what love is, most of us just will think, Ms. Lewis said, it's a feeling. Okay, I like that girl because she's kind of cute. Okay, you don't even know anything about the intrinsic components or aspects of the person. So can you teach love, in your opinion, Ms. Lewis? And if so, why is the world so messed up?
Yes, you can teach love. Because the other day when it was February 14, my little grand boy, he's 17, will be 18 in April, and he thought, he knows about love because he was trying to tell me. So he said, Grandma, could you please give me some money so I can buy a gift for this girl at school? And I said, well, Andre, you know I love you very, very, very much. But I cannot give you any money to go buy a gift for this girl. I would prefer you get something that you can share and go and give all the girls in your class. Or who the girls who you want to give it to, but not to one girl, because you don't even know anything about love yet. So if you do that, you can break her heart, because now she's going to say, Micah is my boyfriend and whatever. And so suppose you don't even get married to her, because he told me, he said, Mom, I don't know if I would get married to her. Who to tell? I don't know, Mom. So he doesn't even realize what he's doing. So I said, girls' hearts are very, very, very soft and emotional, not like yours. So the moment you give her a Valentine's gift, then she's going to maybe turn it off into something. And you can't even talk to any other girl. You need to be neutral right now with nobody, no girl, anything, because you might break her heart and bad things may come out. Do you know what is love? So I started teaching him what is love, you know. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, I love that, you know, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not easily provoked. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. So those are some of the virtues of love. Love is a principle, and sometimes we are infatuated, we are lusting, and we think it's love, but love thinketh no evil. Love is kind. Love doesn't want to hurt someone. So really, love is a principle from God, because God is love. And so somebody who doesn't know God, I don't think they can really, really love, because love is from God. And so you have to know God for yourself. Be acquainted with him. Be in relationship with God. And he teaches you how to really love.
Wow. Well, I'm a little confused here because I'm going to tell you, I don't think that they teach you love. I don't think basically people teach love because I don't think a lot of people, in essence, know what love really is. I really don't think that people, and this is my opinion here, you all, that they know what really love is. For example, God even says in the Ten Commandments, if you love me, what does he say, Ms. Nelly? He says
keep
what?
My,
if you love me what?
Keep my commandments.
And then do the people do that? No. They,
no.
Do they do it?
No.
You know, because then he comes around and he says, everybody is like, you know, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, so are we taught love? Are we really taught love? You know, you says, okay, don't do this. And we deal with so much, don't do this, don't do that. But nobody is teaching, you know, think about it. Have you had a class on those same principles of what you just cited right now? What you just recited right now about love, 1 Corinthians 13, which actually talks about charity, and we use the connotation to exchange love and charity as the same. So when you say love is kind, you know, or charity is not puffed up, you know, so but do we sit down and break these things down to them? Like, and if we're going to do scripture, if it was like when the disciples asked Jesus, because they didn't think they knew how to pray. So they said, these are grown men now that came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. So I'm asking you, Ms. Lewis, you know, where are we going wrong? How can love be enough if we really don't know what love is?
Well, that is why we need to seek the Lord first, because that's what the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he will teach us how to love, because love is of God. Love, you know, is love covered a multitude of sins, of, you know. Love.
I get all of that. What you're saying, I get that. But here again, we have more than 50% of the people who attend churches are divorcing. So what happens? Is love enough? And the Bible tells us also, love conquers all. But unless you know what it is, we're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, I want to bring you back in. I mean, because this is a deep one. How can something be enough if you don't really know what it is? If you don't know what it is, it's almost like baking a cake, this analogy. But then you don't know all the ingredients, the right ingredients. I mean, I would mess the cake up every time. Right? Because I don't know how to, first of all, I don't know how to cook. Secondly, if I had to make it from scratch, all I know is you got to put some kind of flour in there and some rising flour. My mother used to say some kind of rising flour. I don't know what that is. And then some eggs and some sugar. I don't even know what else to put in it. So, Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here. I mean, it's like we're talking about some stuff that I'm not even hearing anything that sounds valid, you know, about the mechanics of love. You know, but we can recite stuff that we've heard scripturally. But, again, if this is the case, they don't teach you about love in elementary school, or do they? Do they? Or middle school? They teach you what? Okay, you shouldn't steal. You shouldn't hit on somebody. Okay, but what about love? Then you're gonna block. What about love?
Well, in 60 seconds, I'm going to try to give you my best advice. From the time of the child is born, the first God that the children ever encounter is his mother and father. That was the reason why God wanted families to be together. So the first gods that they ever encounter is mom and dad. From mom and dad, they learn everything. I said this before. Children are recording us from the beginning. And at some point, they stop recording and they push playback and they start repeating what they've seen. So love comes from the first gods that they see, mom and dad. And so if mom and dad are showing love, then the children are learning from mom and dad. So therefore, when they go from being toddlers to young adults, because they they've learned from the first gods, which is mom and dad, now that they go into relationships, guess where they're going to get the best results from? Mom and dad. So they're going to learn how to love like mom and dad did somebody else. And then they're going to go and, because the Bible said you reproduce after your own kind. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. So if mom and dad is love, and that's the first God that children see, when they meet somebody else who's similar to mom and dad, they connect, they become love, and then they learn how to love and take care of each other. That process has been interrupted. So what's happening now is we don't have families anymore. We have individual people who are raising children, and they're not seeing love properly. They're seeing it from a skewed vision, from either nearsighted or farsighted. They're not getting true vision of what a family is supposed to be like. Therefore, the skewedness of family has now been diminished. So therefore, they're having to learn love from the internet, from the phones, from other people, from schools, from society, and that is not what love is about, because the first gods are supposed to be showing them love. God, love, first love, mom, dad, love now being transferred to children, children now reproducing after their own kind, love. There is the breakdown.
Okay, so Benny from the Block, what I'm hearing then is if this is the case, and you make some very valid points here, that means that instead of divorce rates being at 55%, that means there's a good likelihood that it can increase to the point maybe that, you know, it's rare that people start getting married. Marriage will be in the minority of people now. I mean, as we go through the future. Hmm. Benny from the Block?
That is why it's so easy for children now to be confused about their love life, love language, love who they are. And so they are loving everything else other than what they were supposed and created to be loved. Go back to creation. We were created to be what? To reproduce after our own kind and produce. Now we're not reproduced. We're marrying and same people, same sex, same whatever. Our orientations are whatever. And so everybody's involved in whatever. I'm not saying that God doesn't love us all, but we have shifted away from the original plan that God had created for us, creation. Reproduce after your own kind. And so therefore, we're struggling with love because we don't know what it is anymore, because we don't see it anymore, and because now people are so self-absorbed, indoctrinated with themselves that they don't believe in what the marriage vows was about. You were supposed to work through everything. He gave us a litany of tests of everything that you was going to go through, sickness and health, this, that, and that. He gave us the blueprint. And if you have the blueprint to do something, follow the blueprint. You talked about the cake. You don't have to know how to make a cake, but if you follow the plan, the cake will work out. You will produce the cake.
Right. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. You're absolutely right. But you're right. So even if I have, okay, that's a good point. Even if I have the ingredients, if you give me a box with the ingredients on it, and I put all this stuff in there, listen, the reason why I can say this is because I've tried it. I have tried it maybe once or twice, and it just still doesn't come out right. Because you know what? And you know why? Because I didn't try hard enough. And I think that's what happens with relationships. They don't really try hard enough because they don't know what it is. They don't know what they need to work on. And so now, with this analogy of the cake, I tried twice and then I gave up. I said, I am not baking a cake. I'm not cut out for this. Because, and here's my theory behind that. If I got to do more than three ingredients with anything that I got to cook, it's too much stuff. That's too much. And so I'd rather it's just easier to go buy something or someone will do it, someone may do it for me. But if I got to do more than three items to put in there, the ingredients, it's like that's too much work for my brain to keep up with. You know, you got to put it on preheat and then you got to bake it at a certain point. Okay, well, I got other stuff I got to do, so I'm supposed to watch the cake at the same time? That's a lot. But it's just like with love. Once we are taught what love is, you know, love requires time and patience, like Sister Lewis was talking about, all of these things. But if you're not taught this, long-suffering, if you're not taught this, and that's why when we talk about Scripture, the Bible goes like to train up a child in the way that they should go, you know, and nobody's doing that training. And just like Sir Benny is just saying, we're not doing that. We don't see families anymore. When I lived in London, it was like, it wasn't marriage where there was a license involved so much. They got to the point where it was just partnership. And I said, okay, I'm over here in London now. They're doing domestic partnerships and this sort of thing. Eventually, that will come to America. And sure enough, I think I've seen an application where it says partner or partnerships, domestic partners. You know, that's your significant other. It's interesting, you and Penny, there were some very valid points. Let me go to the phone lines again, you all. Let me bring in Pastor Lewis. Pastor Rowe. I'm sorry. We're going to give you an opportunity now, Pastor Rowe, to give that commercial break. We're almost out of time, you all.
Okay, are you there? But I just want to say, I mean, we're saying a lot, you know, marriage, you know. I'm a part of this radio show. Marjorie invited me a couple months ago, and I saw what was going on in the listening, you know, and the root of it is the love, Dr. Walker, that you were sharing about these children that are hungry, children that are less fortunate, you know, and I saw how you were going out to make a difference in the lives of these children. You know, we got 5 countries and we are growing, but love is an action word. We got to make sacrifices to go to second mile to help these children. We can't just say, I love the children of the world and don't do nothing. We got to dig deep, you know, so that we got everything in place so that we can help these children, you know. And so we do have a marriage. It might not be a conjugal marriage, but it's a partnership marriage where we are joining together. And the only reason, really, that I'm here not only because of Marjorie Cross inviting me, but when I saw what you was doing to make a difference in the lives of these children, when they grow up, they're going to remember what we did to reach out to make a difference, to be a catalyst for change and to impact their life in a way that they can be what God would have them to be. But I want to thank you, Dr. Walker, for what you are doing to make a difference in the world, and it's rubbing off. So just keep on. I want to encourage everyone to give and get all the details and particulars and specifics about what you are doing. And the same that Marjorie Cross mentioned, betteryourself.info. And then as soon as you go there, you'll see an image of chamber members of the world, because I am a chamber member, and they're about supporting the help. Just click on that image and it'll take you to the Helping Others page, and you can see everything that Marjorie is doing and Dr. Walker is doing. And but we have, I don't say it braggadocious, but I'm planning on giving more. Both me and Marjorie, Sister Marjorie, have committed to giving $300 a month to help, but with the attitude of giving more. And I tell you, prove me, when we reach out to try to help these children, God is going to bless us in ways that we would never, ever, ever, ever know. You know, so I just want to encourage everyone to become a sponsor. Become a sponsor. You can get there also by saying, going to becomeasponsor.com, and that'll take you directly, and you can become partner with Dr. Walker and what he's doing to make a difference in the lives of these children that's crying out for help. Thank you for the time that you've given me, Dr. Walker.
Well, thank you. We certainly appreciate all that you and Sister Marjorie are doing as sponsors of this program, helping all of those that we possibly can, especially doing those with those 5 countries. All right, we're almost out of time here, and I really want to get, we still got a lot to cover. Ms. Lewis, I want to bring you in here with this first comment. We're going to take about 5 comments tonight that have come into the studio. And the first one is, this female, she says, when it comes to love, well, I thought I was really in love until I realized I only liked the person. When I finally realized what love really was, I didn't have that strong feeling for him. Ms. Lewis, I mean, a lot of people associate love with, you know, a strong feeling. Is it more than that?
Yes, it takes more than feelings, because some feelings can lead to the mood that you're in. feelings can be elevated and feelings can go down. But if you really love a person, you don't go by feeling. Feeling is all right there because you need to feel something. But when love goes by feeling, you may falter, because when you don't feel like loving, then the feelings are going to tell you, you know, throw it through the window. So feeling should not be the main source. And as you were talking about that cake, sometimes we do not put in the right ingredients. We cut short the recipe, you know. And so if you're supposed to put in half a teaspoon full of salt and you put in 2 teaspoons, it's going to be too salty. So and we have to put in the right amount, what the recipe requires. And then you have to mix the dough for a certain time. You cannot say, oh, I'm just going to spin it around 2 times and then it's going to come together. You have to make your rounds, spin it, you know, mix it until it comes together. Because if it doesn't come together, then that's where incompatibility lies. So we must do, you know, carry out the things. And then we must bake it for the correct time. Don't put it in there for 20 minutes and then you take it out and want to cut cake. It's not going to do anything because the cake is not baked. And sometimes the right ingredients are there, but we didn't bake it long enough. Have mercy, Jesus. Don't bake it long enough. You just cut short and say, well, you know, I can't worry with you because this was not what I married for, and I thought you were a better person, but here you are, and blah, blah, blah. And so you run and you're gone. You didn't even mix that cake long enough. Have mercy.
That's the microwave society that Benny from the Block was talking about, and all of you all are making very valid points tonight. Ms. Lewis, I want to get to a point real quick. We are almost out of time. We're going to have Sir Benny close us out in about 6 minutes or so. He'll give us at least a 1 minute close out, if that's okay. So, Sister Lewis, I want to bring you in here because you said something earlier. You said that you were starting to teach your grandson about love, and you said instead of buying on Valentine's Day the one flower for this young lady, you told him to buy several girls flowers. Now, I would see that causing him a great deal of problems, because if this one girl liked him, then, and she sees that now he's giving all of these girls flowers, that's going to be a problem with that one girl who may have liked him, you know, and now he's giving all these girls, so she's not going to feel special. She's not going to feel isolated that, oh, he only cares about me. No, he cares about all of these girls the same way. So I'm not going to deal with him because he's a player. So, Sister Lewis, when you say that you're probably setting him up for more problems than good and teaching him love?
Well, it may be setting him up for more problems, but in the long run, it's better because he's not ready to show one girl that he loves her as yet, because he does not understand what all this love is about. And I would not advise him to stick to one girl at this age, because if when anything happens, or it may be that he moves away or she does, or, you know, they can't tolerate each other anymore, she may go and commit suicide. She may go do different things because she herself is not understanding what is going on with her, because she herself doesn't understand love and may lead her into, you know, bad judgment. So I don't think that it's the best time to give one girl a flower, because it's going to lead her, it may lead her to say, oh, you know, Micah is mine, and then he can't even look on another girl and say and smile, because problems.
But isn't it teaching him that the commitment of being with the one person versus, I mean, and I get what you're saying, he's young. So the exposure, and I'm over here, the exposure is good. But then if he doesn't concentrate necessarily on one, then down the road when he's 27 and about to get married and he's not accustomed to focusing on one, wouldn't you think that open up a can of worms for him to have a multitude and to that could present perhaps problems with him being unfaithful in his marriage? Just quickly, because we're running out of time.
Not necessarily. It could be, but at the same time, right now he's not supposed to be focusing on a girl. He doesn't
right.
even fit high school. He doesn't even, then he's going to, you know, drift away from his work, his schoolwork, and focus on a girl. He doesn't.
Right.
If anything happens by mistake, which I pray he doesn't, or he even go there, he cannot take
right.
care of a girl. He cannot do nothing. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have a job. He has nothing. So that is not to focus on.
But you're, it's like we're expecting them to not be human because, Ms. Lewis, I say this with all due respect, because you're not a man, and the fact of the matter is young men, when they see a girl, we can do all of what we think we're doing to teach them, but his heart is, he already knows where his heart is. He already knows that. So even though his grandmother's telling him, he's already made up his mind. We're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Ms. Sister Margaret Cross, we're going to bring you in. Take this next comment. We almost have time, y'all. I promise you five. And 30 seconds are left. This male, he says, my lady and I have always told each other that we love each other. However, there are times that we just didn't get along, but somehow we managed to tolerate each other and determined that over the past 12 years, that's really our love for each other. They... He say they tolerate each other. Is that important, Ms. Cross?
Yes, that's very important. You know, as you say, going back to Corinthians 13, love is kind, it suffers long, and it endures long. So if you love somebody, you're going to put up with a lot of different things, a lot of patience and endurance and everything. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go here. Real quick to Pastor Rowe, I'm going to bring you in here on this one here. We're almost out of time. Just 15 seconds or less on this one, Pastor Rowe. We're always running out of time. This male, he says, I tell people all the time that we all should have learned about love when we were in elementary school because we really don't know what love really is, in my opinion. Is elementary school a good time to learn about love, Pastor Rowe? Quickly, please.
But I feel that it's a good start, but sometimes you know it's late. You know, when we see love demonstrated, as I mentioned to you before, it might come late. But when we see it demonstrated, and we take action, so it can come in the evening of our lives, just what it can come in the morning of our lives.
Right, Sister Margaret Cross, we want to bring you in, and then we'll give Benny from the block final one as he closes out. Sister Margaret Cross, just quickly here, this male, he says, my mom always told me never to go to bed angry. I'm not sure what that had to do with being in love until I got married. My wife and I had disagreements at night, and sometimes they were heated. We made a pact using the same information from my mom that it has made a significant difference in our love and relationship towards each other. Not going to bed angry, that's one component of love. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's fair to say. Because, you know, you don't want to know that you're angry with a person, you just go to bed back mad. You know, it's best to talk it over and make it up before you go to sleep. God forbid if something happens to you, say, oh, my goodness, you know, you didn't say you're sorry or you didn't make it up with the person. So I think
right,
it's better not to go to bed bad.
Okay, we're going to give Benny from the block the final one as he closes us out. Benny from the block, this is the final one. This female, she says, I was taught about love, just like Benny said earlier. I was taught about it from my parents. I watched them as I was growing up and saw the affection, the attention, and love demonstrated by my parents. I think this gave me a good model for love, and today I'm happily married and madly in love with my husband. After 10 years, he still rocks. Benny from the block, close us out with that thought. And what do you think about that?
Wow.
I want to say congratulations to her because she's actually living in what the promise was all designed to do.
we were supposed to repeat after our own kind, which means she saw her parents' love. She now is reproducing and doing what her parents say. And so in closing, I want to say that as people, as Christians, when we take an oath to anything, when we take an oath to love God, we take an oath to love one another, it says love everyone. And so we don't honor those oaths by changing because of feelings, emotions, or things that happen in our lives. We don't honor those oaths. And because we don't honor those oaths, then our lives change. And it doesn't change for the positive, it changes for the negative. Now, we become systematically available to get used to whatever we are part of, but that's not the way God designed it. God designed us for us to be loved because he is love. And because he is love, he wants love to reign inside of us. He wants love to be the entire existence of who we are. When we walk in love, when we talk in love, we are representing Christ. We still think we represent ourselves. No, Christ. And that's why he died for us, because he loved us. And so his love is so strong that it will overtake any negative thoughts, any negative situations that we may have. And I'm grateful that Christ saw it necessary to die for us out of love. And we should, in return, love one another, because someone, the entity of life, the Son of God, gave his all because he loved us. That's why I want to close.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, we certainly asked you to call in early enough to get into the queue. Listen, we're out of time, but join us here tomorrow night when the topic will be, how do you maintain faith? How do you maintain faith when going through your storm? How do you maintain faith? That's going to be a difficult one, because people oftentimes, when they're going through the forest, it's very difficult to find that maze on your way out. So you would want to definitely check this one out. And remember, there's nothing greater than love. And, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be back here Saturday morning for the International Divine Intervention Day program, when the topic will be, has God given man the ability to rebuke negativity in his life? Has God given man the ability to rebuke negativity in his life? That's going to be a powerful one. And we'll see you then, either tomorrow night or until Saturday morning. So I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, Pastor Roll, and good night, Sister Lois, Benny on the block, and everyone on the show.
Good night.
I enjoyed it. God bless you. Everybody is beautiful.
Wonderful. Love should start from utero.
That's right. I love you all, because God is love, but we got to love one another.
Great comment, Sister Lewis. You got to know, after 54 years of marriage, 44, but I just want to, I enjoy your wisdom and your comments, and keep your wisdom flowing and coming. It's very much appreciated, and also Benny from the block.
Thank
and
you,
Marjorie
Benny.
Cross, your comments
you.
Is always a blessing to thank me as well
all.
As others.
And you all are great, too. Thank you, Pastor Roll, and you all are great. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Walker, for this show.
Thank you.